Court of Appeals. The other panel was in session yesterday, and today we have only two cases on our call. Most of the other cases were submitted without oral argument. I am Frankie Moore from North Platte, and I'm pleased to be joined this morning on my right by Judge Dave Arteburn from Papillion, and on my left by Judge Larry Welch of Plattsmouth. We will begin with the first case. It is State versus Marks. You may approach. First case is State versus Marks.
Good morning. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is David Terrell, and I represent Crystal Marks. Start out by saying this case is just wrong. The question really is who we blame. We blame the judge for the insufficiency of the evidence, or defense counsel for ineffective assistance of counsel. But I submit to the court that when a defendant goes to trial on two class 4 felonies, which each carry a maximum of 2 years imprisonment, and ends up with a sentence equivalent of 4 to 6 years, there's a problem. Now, we all know that the reason for that was that the jury made this finding that the value of the thing in question, this vehicle, was $7,000.
Is it possible for the jury to find your client guilty of a charge for which that did not exist in the information?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, especially under these facts, especially under the way that the value was determined in this case. I think if potentially the answer to your question would be right, if there would have been some better instructions and the jury would have understood the significance of what it was finding. But I think on this record, it's pretty clear that the jury was sort of arbitrarily determining the amount.
How do you believe the instructions should have been different?
I think the defense counsel should have objected to the instruction, which stated that the jury needed to find whether the just blankly what the value of the vehicle was. I think that should have been narrowed down to the charge that was that the court said was proper and under the plea and abatement, which is the class 4 felony. I think defense counsel should have said, no, that instruction needed to be limited to $1,500 to $5,000. I think it's possible under the scenario that the court talked about that the jury could make a finding, as I said, over $5,000. I just don't think this jury understood what they were actually finding when they put out that number of $7,000.
Well, the defendant was charged with the $1,500 to $5,000 after the plea and abatement. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So the operative information in the case was a class 4 felony.
Exactly.
Was that ever amended during the course of the trial?
That was not ever amended during the course of the trial.
So how is it even possible for the jury to find the defendant guilty, even if they find $7,000, is it still not a class 4 felony?
That's exactly what my belief is too, Your Honor. And I think the last line of, let me find the name of the case here, Roche Inc., I think I'm pronouncing that right. The last line of that particular case says that because in that case, the court found that the value of the thing should have actually been higher. But the court also stated, that's the last line in that case, that however, as Roche was charged with only a class 1 misdemeanor, that conviction and sentence of the trial court must be affirmed. I think the inverse is also true because my client was only charged with a class 4 felony, that a conviction on a class 2 felony should be reversed.
Is the value of the item taken an element of the offense, or is it a sentencing factor?
I believe it's an element of the offense, Your Honor, and I think Apprendi in some of those cases and its progeny in Nebraska would determine that. Especially, that hits especially home for my client, who was sort of baffled when she ended up with the sentence she got because she, you know, understood, wait a minute, I'm looking at a maximum of 2 years. That's all the rights that she'd been informed of. So I think under those cases, it's clear that that is an essential element that the jury needed to find. I think they also just needed to understand the significance. And I think if you contrast the record, you contrast the evidence that the state put forward in its plea and abatement, we had officer, I think his name was Pirro, I may be not getting the name right, where he testified that the Kelley Blue Book value of this vehicle was $4,000. And he went on to concede on cross-examination that that was a generous estimate because he said it didn't take into account the condition, and there's evidence in the record that...
Was that testimony in the preliminary hearing or in the trial?
That was actually testimony that was offered in the preliminary hearing, Your Honor.
Okay. And that was the basis of the court's decision to, in part, sustain the plea in abatement by directing the state to file an amended information charging it as a Class 4. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
But the trial testimony, if I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, there was opinions of anywhere from $1,500 to $8,000 as far as value.
That's correct. The victim in this case, Mr. Gibson Daniel, threw out a few different numbers there. And the first one was, I think it was the price he paid for it initially, way back in time, $11,000. And then he said, well, I found one sort of like this. Didn't really, no objection as to foundation, for $8,000. So I think that was it. The jury, and I wonder if I could reverse roles with the defense counsel at this point. I have to be honest, I might have been thinking that's irrelevant. The only real issue here is over $1,500. I might not have been putting my energy on that. But I think he, as well as his client, more importantly, was later shocked when, wait a minute, she's facing more than 4 years when she went to trial on two Class 4 felonies. So I think it just doesn't pass that initial test. And when you look at it, you see that the jury was sort of speculating based on the victim's testimony, and he just threw out a few arbitrary numbers, and they kind of arbitrarily came up with $7,000, not realizing how important that would be, not realizing that, and effectively in this case, it really comes home because it took the initial penalty and expanded it times 10 from a zero.
And was the sentence error, if that's your position, brought to the attention of the trial court?
It was. It was. And the court found no. There's an email in there where the clerk of the court emails and says, wait a minute, is this correct? And because even the clerk of the court finds, hold on, the information charges a Class 4, how could she have been sentenced to longer than that? And as the court knows, I was not trial counsel. I was appointed later. I was actually the second appointed counsel. And I have to be honest, I was baffled too, as was the court. From reading the documentation, I was sort of in the position I am now of, hold on a minute, Your Honor, how can this be? My client went to trial on these charges. You're limited to a 4-year sentence. And the court said no, that because of that $7,000 finding, it could go higher than that. So to continue, I just find that this... this was just wrong. That at first blush, that the more you look into it, the headline itself is a problem. But the more you get into the fine print, and you realize just how arbitrary that $7,000 was, how the jury was not given the benefit of the more accurate testimony that the court was at the plea and abatement. We have this great tool out there, the Kelley Blue Book, and there's a couple competing systems out there that take into account the factor in mileage, the factor in condition, and the court in the plea and abatement had the benefit of that.
Do you contest that there was sufficient evidence to convict on the Class 4 felony?
No, I do not contest that. I think there was sufficient evidence.
So the error would be in sentencing it as if it was a Class 2 felony?
That is exactly correct, Your Honor.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Kimberly Klein, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state in this matter. Your Honors, theft in this state is kind of a weird offense. We have held that it's an element of the valuation is an element of the offense, but all you have to prove is that the item stolen has some intrinsic value, and the actual value of it, if you will, actually goes to the gradation of the offense. The jury came up with a value of $7,000 for this particular truck, and there is testimony and evidence in the record that would support that. The person whose truck it actually was that had it stolen out from under him said he said what he had paid for it when he originally got it, which is, you know, kind of a baseline, really. But, of course, we all know that vehicles disintegrate in value almost the minute you drive them off the parking lot. But he said that shortly before the trial, he went and looked at a nearly identical truck that sold for about $8,000, and it had about the same mileage on it. And he described his truck when he last saw it as being in good condition. So he kind of estimated that based on what he had seen a similar truck selling for, his truck would be valued at least $4,000 to $5,000, possibly, you know, more, depending on the condition of the thing. Mark sold the truck to her uncle for, I believe it was $1,500, which is, I think, where we're coming up with the $1,500 figure. But the jury was at liberty to take the evidence and come up with the valuation that it came up with, and it found $7,000.
But is that jury at liberty to convict him for a crime for which he isn't charged?
See, I'm not sure that that actually happened because of the way we interpret our theft by our theft statutes under these things. The valuation is an element, but all you have to prove is that it had some intrinsic value, and then it becomes basically a jury question what that exact value was. And the jury in this particular case, because it was basically given essentially no guidance and just said, you heard the testimony, you come up with the value on it, came up with the value of $7,000. And I understand that she was charged only with a Class 4 felony. Whether or not the error in sentencing her for a Class 2A is an issue that it may well be a problem. However,
have you seen any cases that give guidance on this?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen anybody do this before.
Maybe so. Is it just common sense that you can't convict beyond what was charged?
Well, I think that's probably a common sense principle, and usually that's how we sentence them for what they've been convicted of. I mean, that's typically how this works.
So tell us about the sentence. What's your position on that?
Your Honor, I think, even though the jury came up with an excess valuation of what she was charged with, she was still charged with a maximum of $5,000, which would put it as a Class 4 felony. I think probably that's all we can technically count her convicted of, and it probably needs to be sent back for resentencing on a Class 4 felony rather than a Class 2A, because the valuation, regardless what the jury found it to be, clearly still puts it within the 4 range. It puts it above and beyond it, actually, but that's what the state charged, and I think that's probably all the state can actually convict her of is a Class 4, so it probably needs to be sent back for resentencing on a Class 4 felony.
Then would that also require to resentence on the other Class 4 because there was an indeterminate sentence given?
Yeah, probably.
On that count?
Okay. You know, she didn't complain about that, but, you know, that would have to constitute plain error, I would think. So, yeah, probably go back and take another run at it and see what happens this time. But, yeah, I think there's probably resentencing is appropriate under these circumstances.
I appreciate your candor.
Yes.
So if there are no further questions.
I believe not.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And appellant has rebuttal time remaining?
Correct. 1 minute and 36 seconds.
Thank you. May it please the court. I, too, appreciate counsel's frankness there. And I like what she said about common law as well as what the court said. We're here to apply common law, and we're also here to apply common sense. And as I said, this just doesn't seem to pass that test. Counsel also referred to kind of guesstimated, and I appreciate that frankness as well, but I just don't think that's good enough for the due process clause, and I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you.
Thank you both. You are excused, and your case is submitted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next case this morning is State versus Madryn.